Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Just going to talk to you here tonight. Amen. I'm going to talk to you. And prayerfully, this will just resonate in your spirit. And amen. If you have it, say amen. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel of the Lord departed from her. Now let's go down to verse 43. This is after she visits with Elizabeth. And it says, And whence this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Last scripture. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. I just feel to talk to you tonight. We'll see how it goes. I really feel to talk to you. Like I said, I don't plan on getting too pumped up or anything like that, but I really feel to talk to you, because I just feel like God just has really, in a sense, helped me to be touched with the feelings of your infirmities. Amen. And it hurts. Praise God. Amen. And so ever since I've been here this week, honestly, God has been speaking to me, but also really have been in some battles in my spirit. But I feel to talk to you tonight about the favor and frustration of promises. The favor and frustration of promises. Why don't you lay your Bibles down and clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise be the name of the Lord. Praise be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you so much to the worship team, the musicians and the singers. You guys have done a great job throughout this revival. Every person has just blessed me with their singing. The favor and frustration of promises. The Lord dumped this into my spirit as I began to think about what Mary endured in her life, where all we know about her life, where her life begins with us, is with a promise. It seems like no one would know who she was if this promise was not given to her. And so she was identified by the promise of God. But hear me, Mary had a life before her promise began. Amen. She was engaged to Joseph, and as any new bride would be, she had dreams of children. She had dreams of her wedding day. She had dreams of her dress, and her mom was sewing her dress together, getting everything together. In Jewish weddings, it was something very celebrated. Her whole community, her whole family was excited about Mary being engaged. And engagements at this time, it was literally would last a year. It's called a betrothal that would last a year. And the engagement was just as binding as the marriage was. Amen. If you broke the engagement, it was literally considered to be a divorce, even though the marriage had yet to be consummated. But engagements, it was contracted, and it would last a year. And in that year, all the goods of her home, of her possessions, would be shifted over into the husband's possession. And so these betrothal, this espousal, this engagement was very serious. It's not like today where, thank God it's not like today where, you know, when you get engaged to somebody, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get married. It just means it's a 99% chance that we're going to get married. But if you show me some stuff in this engagement, I can pull the plug. Amen. Somebody better be thankful it's not like Jewish times. Amen. Because I know some friends that were engaged to some folk. Amen. Whew. Help me, Holy Ghost. That you know, it's like you can't convince anybody otherwise when they're in love. Right? Like, dude, the dude doesn't even work. They're like, but he loves me, though. Like, he's never worked a job before. Like, where are y'all going to stay? But we're in love. Like, you just can't talk anybody out of that. And all you can say is just like, well, God bless you. But then when they finally get a revelation, as the wedding date draws near and they pull the plug, we all say, oh, I knew that was going to happen. Thank God they got it before the wedding took place. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? But this woman, Mary, is literally bounded by this contract in this engagement. As soon as she said, I do, her whole life was completely changed. Her possessions are going into Joseph's house. So this was set in stone in Joseph's mind and in her mind. And she's getting the wedding dress together, the wedding festival, getting all the goods. Who's going to do the refreshments? Who's going to cook the presents? The family's already getting the presents together. And she's just being faithful and praying and thanking God for this wonderful man. Thank you, Lord. I was single and you blessed me. Hallelujah. And while she's praying and thanking the Lord, all of a sudden an angel comes. It's like, ooh, this is confirmation. Hey, what's up, angel? An angel says, hey, you're favored. You know that, right? Oh, yeah, you know, I'm married to Joseph. Yeah, he's got money. He's got good prestige. Yeah, I know. I'm favored. And then she was troubled. Is that all you got to say? And she was like, what are you here for? I said, yeah, you found favor with God. Okay, all right. I understand I've got favor. What are you trying to tell me? He says, you're going to have a son named Jesus. Oh, you already prophesying about me and Joseph's birth, first child. I receive it, Lord. But how's it going to be seeing I don't even know a man yet? We're not even officially married yet. But the power of the highest is going to overshadow you. Well, you know, like those dogs do. You know, explain this thing. I know that you haven't been with anybody, but I'm putting a promise deep on the inside of you that's going to change the entire world. And from that moment, a promise wrecked her life. How many of you know I was okay surviving before God put a promise in my life? I was okay living the life that I was living before God just dumped this in my lap. I just came to the altar to pray just to get a little blessing and thank God. Then all of a sudden he starts speaking to me things that I would not in my humanity desire, but he put it in my mind. So I'm so persuaded of it. It will frustrate me if it doesn't happen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, my Lord. And so she comes in this. It's just a regular prayer, but she leaves this altar call impregnated with something from God. And she cannot live the life that she had before because her promise wrecked her life. Now she's got to explain to Joseph what happened. Hey, I saw an angel. Oh, okay. I'm pregnant. What did you just say to me? Yeah, but it's God. A promise will make you sound crazy to folk. Come on, somebody. God's going to bring my son back to the Lord. What, after the... Wasn't he just on the news for the drugs and stuff? He's talking crazy. Yeah, God's going to bring my daughter back. After what she's done? After all of the divorces and all the relationships she's been, you're talking crazy. But how many of you know when God puts a promise in you, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter if nobody else understands. I am persuaded because God has impregnated me with something that I know is going to impact more people than I can imagine. Amen. And so she had a life, but now her whole life would literally be stigmatized by a promise. Everywhere that she went, she would be bearing this promise from God. And a promise, when God gives you a promise, he intends to bring that promise to pass. He does not intend to tease you with a promise. God is not a teaser. If you ever came into this altar call or been in a prayer room and prayed, and God dumped a promise into your spirit, he was not just teasing you. He was not just playing with you. God intends to bring that promise to pass more than you want it to come to pass. And with every promise, there's already a plan that comes incorporated into that promise. But into that promise, there are things that you don't know about yet. God said, I'm giving you a promise, but I'm not going to tell you that Herod's going to try to kill that promise. I'm giving you a promise, but I'm not going to tell you on how he will be called an illegitimate. I'm giving you a promise, but I'm not going to tell you on how they're going to spit on that promise. I'm giving you a promise, but I'm not going to tell you how there's going to be lashes that come on that promise. I'm giving you a promise, but I'm not going to tell you on how that promise is going to be crucified. I'm giving you a promise, but if you can hold on to that promise, even through all the hell that you've gone through, there's going to be a resurrection that's going to seal the promise of God in your life. He gives you a promise that literally makes your eyes gleam, but after he gives it, watch this, you come back down to earth. He gives it, oh, I'm in the heavens, and then you go back to your 9-to-5. Is that the truth? And you are in the same situation you were in before, but you have something in you that you cannot hide. So she gives this promise because she's found favor with God. If God has ever given you a promise, that means there's been favor on your life. And he intends, he said, he that has begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen. When you came to God, that was God authoring your life. That was God putting an anointing on your life. He's authored. He started something in you, but he is wanting to finish it. He is wanting to finish what he started, where you can finish stronger than you started, and where you're not just reminiscing on how you used to pray and how you used to intercede and how it used to be in the good old days, but God wants to seal something in your life where he says, I'm going to finish stronger what I started. I know you started in fire, but this thing is going to end in a wildfire. It started as a flame, but it's going to end as a wildfire. It's going to end as something great and something powerful. We need to understand that every promise that God has put in our life, that he plans to accomplish it according to his word. He says, so shall my word be which goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I have sent it. God not only wants to accomplish your promise, he wants to prosper your promise. He wants your promise to prosper. And everywhere you go, every time you step on the job, it's blessing somebody. Every time you talk to the family, it's blessing somebody. Every time you come to church, it's blessing somebody. He wants to prosper it and make it live beyond your own days, where your kids are going to take part of it, and your grandkids are going to take part of it, and your great-great-grandkids are going to take part of the promise that you helped carry. Amen. And so she carries this promise, favor. Now, after God gives her this promise, her marriage is in jeopardy. Yo, is that crazy? The Bible says that Joseph was thinking about putting her away. But thank God, God intervened supernaturally and said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The family structure's changed. Everything's changed so much to where after she's about to have this baby, there was no room for her in the inn. And I've told you what that means. That means the guest chamber when Joseph went to his family's house to be taxed by Caesar during that time. There was no room for them in the inn. He went back to his family, the guest chamber, inn, guest chamber, not a hotel, a guest chamber. And the Bible says that his own family rejected them from having the baby in their house, even though that guest chamber was made for relatives. It was made for relatives to come in. The Greek word is kataluma, the guest chamber where families came to dwell in a guest room. But when Joseph came to his family, they looked at him and said, there's no room for you here. His promise had them get rejected by his own family. And so they're having to birth this thing in a manger. And they thank God for confirmation. Thank God when you're about to give up on your promise, God sends confirmation to keep holding on. Seems like every time you're about to give up, it's like God sends a confirmation. Oh, hold on. It's like, ooh, I was just about to throw in the towel. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? And so he sends confirmation with the shepherds, with the wise men from the east, with the magi, sends confirmation. But now, after this incredible promise, she goes into get him circumcised on the eighth day. Anna comes and she gives confirmation. He's going to be great. And Simeon comes and he gives confirmation. He's going to be great. But after the confirmations at the infancy of Jesus Christ, now they've got to run for their life from Herod, who's trying to kill them. They've got to go into Egypt. They've got to go run into Nazareth. They got to go into Galilee. They got to go in all these places waiting for King Herod to die off. And finally, he gets raised in Nazareth. And Nazareth is similar to the word despised. In Nazareth, during that time, nobody thought anything good could come out of Nazareth. It was a place where nobodies were, and they're being raised there. Watch this. So after the promise comes, it seems like the Spirit is silent for 30 years. Seems like the Spirit of God is silent for 28 plus years. I gave you a promise, but now you've got to deal with the frustration that comes with it. The frustration of it not being fulfilled in the timing you'd like for it to be fulfilled. The angel didn't say when Jesus would die for their sins. The angel didn't say when the miracles were going to happen. The angel did not say anything about the power of the Holy Ghost. All it said is that I'm giving you a promise. And your promise is in my hands. You just got a responsibility, watch this, to nurture my promise. Your only responsibility is to feed that promise. Your only responsibility is to care for that promise. Even in contrary circumstances. Even when they're calling him an illegitimate. Even when everybody's calling you a harlot, like you slept with somebody that wasn't your husband. Even when they're cursing you. I didn't tell you about all the good that would come out of it. All I said is I'm giving you a promise, and you've got the responsibility to nurture it. Nobody, no matter what nobody says about it. Amen. And she's frustrated now because everybody close to her turned their back on her. And Joseph had died before Jesus started his ministry. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I feel like preaching now. Amen. When you get a promise from God and you know it's going to happen, it's amazing the circumstances that you're in now as a result of that promise. When God spoke to me to give up basketball and give up my college basketball career, and I could see the promise, y'all. I'm talking about I saw it. All right, Lord, that's going to be that good. Let me give all this stuff up. And guess what? Now I'm on a golf course working maintenance outside with a sombrero on. Talking about I'm called to the ministry. Long sleeves, pants. Lost 20 pounds on that golf course. 110 degrees in Florida, folks. That humidity is no joke. I got a sombrero on with my Honduran friend. Nobody even has a middle school education. Here I am with an associate's degree. Laying sod, moving the hole every morning. For those of you that play golf, we move that hole every morning. 4:30 every morning, I'm moving the hole. It has three, if you want to really talk about it, I can give you revelation about it later. There's like three layers, 1, 2, 3 each day. It's a different spot you're supposed to put it on. Sometimes you put it on 1, sometimes you put it on 2, sometimes you put it on 3. Or it'll all right, yeah. Got to put it in the corner, amen. It's just, I'm like, God, you gave me a promise, and I got to figure out what to put a hole on a golf course now. Come on now. And I,
I'm doing all that, and I'm picking up the palm branches, putting it in the golf cart. Amen. And I'm those golf carts, I had a stick shift golf cart. Seriously. Went 45 miles an hour. And there were some hills on that golf cart. I mean, this is Florida, folks. These are championship golf courses I'm talking about. And so I remember one time, man, I'm going on there, and I'm just going fast. And then one time, it was a hill, and I'm just going over the hills. But this hill, it had a drop into the pond where there were rocks. 10 foot. I'm like, woo, woo, ah! Boom! Fell, got my leg caught on the steering wheel. I'm on the thing, and my leg's under my back. And I said this. This is funny, but I'll never forget this. I said, Lord Jesus. I said, please don't let my leg be broken. And thank God it wasn't, but my manager is surprising. Man, what in the world happened to you? That golf cart, man, was just so jacked up. My leg was jacked up. And I'm talking about, man, this guy crazy. He's got a promise. I'm looking like the big idiot in the world. And at the same time, I'm seeing my best friend, Ricardo Ratliff, on ESPN Top 10 Plays, University of Missouri, number one in the nation, dunking the basketball. And I'm just like, God bless you. I gave up everything to embrace a promise, but now I'm in a situation where I look like an idiot. And my family is telling me, boy, you're throwing your life away. Coach is telling me, boy, you're throwing your life away. My friends say, man, that guy just went crazy. That guy just went crazy. Matter of fact, one guy, he was acting like he was my friend, and he's like, man, well, that's cool. You gave it up, huh? And what are you doing now? Oh, man, I'm working on a golf course, man. Oh, okay. You know, weirdo, you know. You gave up scholarships to work on a golf course. Cool. Amazing. And after I got done talking to him, he's like, oh, man, that's great, man. He didn't know he accidentally called me, and it went to voicemail. Dude, that guy left me like a 20-minute voicemail. I didn't even know he had left it on there, but man, that guy's just dragging my name through the ground. Like, man, dude, that guy lost like 20 pounds, man. He used to be dunking the basketball, and all these colleges were recruiting him. Man, that guy's an idiot. He's on the golf course. And I just listened to him. I got tears coming down my eye. He's right. Because after the promise, the growth of that promise, the sign of maturity in your promise, after favor is frustration. Where it's not happening in your time. It's not happening like you thought it would happen. It's not happening in the way that you thought it would happen. You still believe, but you're growing more frustrated. And each time somebody gives you a new prophecy about the same promise, you don't even want to hear it no more. Because you don't get faith, you get frustrated. Is that the truth? The Lord spoke to me that there's revival coming here, and it's just like, mm-hmm, yeah, we heard that before. And it's just frustrating because I know it's there, and I keep hearing confirmations, but I'm hearing so many confirmations is giving birth to frustration, because like, what am I doing wrong? Right? Am I the only person here? Wave a hand if this is helping somebody. Am I just the weird? Okay. Thought I was just the only guy here that wore a sombrero. Amen. Amen. I told y'all why I wore a sombrero, though, right? Did I ever tell y'all that? Why? It's because contrary to popular belief, black people do tan. And I was turning charcoal. I'm serious. We don't have wind like y'all have in Louisiana. It's just, when it's hot, it's just hot. There are no breezes. It's just hot. My neck was turning charcoal. I had the hat on, but my neck was getting black. Amen. I know I'm black, but I don't even be black, that black. Amen. So I did the most humbling thing in my life. Eduardo,
Give me your sombrero. Walking around, got it. Got that thing tightened up. Yeah. And so Mary has this promise. She's frustrated, and it's growing, and she sees at 12 years old, you know, she gets a bright spot. He's in the synagogues talking about being at his father's business. But after this happens, all of this frustration, she's being mistreated. She's being downtrodden. She's losing her standing in society. All of this for a promise. And her frustration, that is the sign of growth. Let me tell you something. You don't want something bad enough if you don't get frustrated in pursuit for it. Yeah, I got a promise. When it's coming to pass, I don't care. But if you really want it, there is going to be frustration that comes with it. Like, man, I'm trying to get it. And it's in that frustration that the promise is actually growing in ways that you don't see yet. It's in that frustration that you're actually growing in ways that you don't see yet. You don't see because you think, you know, I'm in the same spot I was last year. I'm in the same spot I was 3 years ago. I'm in the same spot I was 5 years ago. I'm in the same situation. No, you're not. You have grown. And the promise has grown. And that frustration has forced you to grow in ways that you don't recognize yet. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says it this way. It says that, how does it go? There it is. And we know that all things work together for good. Everyone say for good. To them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, leave that scripture up there for me, because we quote this wrong a lot. We know that all things work together, what we like to say is, for our good. It says, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, that makes a difference, because he's not saying it's for our good. He said it's for good. And this good is not talking about circumstances. We like to say, and it's true, you know, God has the ability to turn around what the bad circumstances, turn it into good. Amen. All things work together for good circumstances. Amen. But he's not talking about circumstances here. He's not talking about circumstances here. And this is important for us to realize, because this good, this word good, is God's definition of good, not man's. Okay. This is a definite good. This is not a subjective good. This is not a good that man gets to determine what the definition of good is. This is God's set in stone definition of what good is. In other words, it's not subject to human philosophy, human background, or human experiences. This is God's definition of good. This is important. Why is this important? Because you and I have different definitions of what good is. In other words, if I'm homeless and I wind up getting a job and I get to purchase my first home, and my first home is this size, where my shoulders touching each side of the wall. It's a little shed by this thing. And I'm going to say, God's been good to me. Look at this blessing. God's been so good. I was homeless, but God provided. But now, if I'm living in a three-story mansion and I go bankrupt and now I'm in that same house, that's not good for me. That's a curse. You see, we have different interpretations of what good is, right?
That's why God is saying all things work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to his purpose. He's saying this is my definition of good, and the Greek word is agathos, which means intrinsic good. In other words, what's happening on the inside of you is good. So the success of a trial is not the outcome. It's what you become that makes it successful. So even if I lose everything, I'm still becoming something for God. Even if I'm blessed or if I'm not blessed, I'm still becoming closer to God. I'm still becoming what God wants me to become. Amen. My success of this trial is not my circumstances. It's that I have become more like God in this. That's what makes it good. That helps somebody right there. Look at the next verse. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate, watch this, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's saying that you are becoming more like Jesus in your situation. All things, the blessing and the suffering, is making you conformed into the image of Christ. Amen. And so don't just measure your favor by your circumstances. I'm favored because I'm growing into the full stature of Jesus Christ. And so when you're frustrated and you feel like nothing's happening in your circumstances, understand, I know I can't see it, but somehow, some way, this promise is coming closer than I can imagine. And I am growing in a capacity where I can handle the promise. I am growing in a way where I can give life to that promise. I am growing in a way where this promise can change more people than I can imagine. And even though Jesus isn't working miracles yet, he's growing, and it's because he's growing that I can say I'm successful. I can hear those that are despising me and calling me an adulterer, but as long as I see Jesus growing in my midst, I can make it another day. As long as I can see my promise growing, I can make it through another storm. Laugh at me if you want to, but something's growing on the inside of me. Talk about my family if you want to, but something's growing on the inside of me, and I'm frustrated because I'm ready for it to happen now. Amen. Amen. Frustration. Everybody say frustration. That is the second part of growth. The promise, the process starts with favor. After favor is frustration. Then after frustration happens, it gives birth to, watch this, this is contrary, this is a paradox, but this is going to help you. It gives birth to learning to be content where you are. I'm going to preach a message one day called The Blessing of a Normal Life. All right, everybody looking at me crazy. I thought somebody would run right there. The blessing of a normal life, meaning we've preached the extraordinary so much to nobody, where nobody wants to do the daily work of having a 9-to-5 job. Nothing supernatural happened. All you did was make it through another day. Because how many of you know that's what a lot of life is? Just normal. But it's how you respond to that normality that determines if you can handle the supernatural. Amen. So you got to learn how to be content where you are. Now that's tough. Because I'm frustrated. I'm like, man, why am I not preaching? What's going on around here? Don't everybody know I got a promise? You know, I'm sitting on the front row, you know, waiting for Pastor to be like, Brother Jackson, now you have a word? I got scriptures going through my mind. I got sermons in my head. I'm waiting. If Pastor called me up right now, I'm a hey. That never happened. I was waiting too. I'm like, Ephesians 3:20. I'm quoting scriptures in my head. There's only one God. My pastor's preaching, and I'm like, yeah, hallelujah. While I was worshiping, I could see me preaching. Oh, yeah, Lord, that promise. I can, I see it. I feel it. But the frustration comes because, like, I've got a prophetic word in me, and nobody knows about it. And it seems like nobody cares about it. And that frustration, and I'm going to Pastor, I'm just miserable. I told him that. I told Pastor that. I said, man, I'm just miserable. He said, yeah, Victor, you just got to learn to just work your job. I'm like, dude, look, no disrespect, Pastor, but it's 120 degrees out there. I mean, I know I got to. Oh, I believe in that faithful stuff, but man, I mean, you see how dark I got since I've been working outside. I bet I've got evidence about this. Amen. Hey, you know it's bad when this is charcoal, but then you go up here and it's white. I'm serious. I was like, dude, I wish I could have had a color that could. I was this color, man. And here it's dark here. I mean, like, I was about to show my pastor, look, Pastor, let me show you something. This is about to change your world. And he's like, no, he's just, and I'm like, man. And so what I had to do was to learn how to walk with God when nothing was happening, learn how to just work my job, just keep praying, just keep trusting in God, just knowing that in God's time, it's going to happen. But I'm not going to spend my time being frustrated over it. Now, watch that. That is the sign of the promise maturing. When you can go from frustration to learning to be content where you are. Where it's just, you're learning to just do the right things. Just learning. I'm not pushing any doors. I'm not pushing anything. I'm just learning. I worked on the golf course, I got a promotion. Guess where I got a promotion to? I got to work at Walmart as a cart pusher. I'm moving up in the world. Got my little construction vest on. Didn't have my sombrero on this time, because I had some secret spots to hide in the shade here and there. But I'm pushing the. Everybody said, hey, is that Brother Victor? Hey, guys. Like, he quit basketball, right? He quit all those scholarships, right? He quit all that MBA and professional future, right? And he's pushing golf. He's pushing carts now, cart pusher. Then after that, you know what I was learning, though? I was learning to just learn to be content where I was. You know, it's not happening, and God said it. You know what? If God spoke it to me, then it's on him to get it done, not me. All I've got to do is just be ready to receive it when it does happen. So while I'm waiting, I'm just going to work on myself while I'm waiting. So I thought about Walmart. You know, I'm pushing the Walmart. I'm trying to get sermons out of me pushing these carts. Steps of a good man, order of the Lord. You know, he that puts his hand to the plow shall not look back. You know, I mean, I'm coming up with all kinds of stuff to just get me through what I'm doing. After that, I got a big promotion this time. This is a big one for me. I got to work. Oh, I could tell you that one. That was just so painful. I can't even tell you that one. Amen. I got to work. I'm wondering if I should tell you that one because it's too funny if I tell you. Okay, I'll tell you. This is too funny. Before I did Walmart, somebody heard that I was looking for a job. And so, yeah, I got something for you. They wind up needing someone to just drive them to their irrigation place where they do irrigation. I just need somebody to drive me. $9 an hour for you to just drive me where I need to work and get my irrigation stuff done. Oh, man, easy money. No problem. By the way, I only worked that job one day because I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you what happened. So I go there. I drive him. And he gets out and he's like, okay, I'm going to go give him an estimate and everything. I'm like, okay. He goes, all right, yeah, give him the estimate. We can get to work now. I'm in the car. I'm like, okay, we're getting to work? Yeah, yeah. Man, he had me, dude, I dug a hole from this pulpit all the way back there. I mean, I dug a hole all the way down there. My hands were callous, blood coming out of my hands. I know, I'm a little wimp. I wasn't made outside, amen. I wasn't made for outside stuff. I did the whole thing over there, and I mean, I'm working hard for hours doing this, and I do it all the way down over there, and he comes, and he just drops the pipes down. I did it myself, and he drops the pipes down. He drops the pipes down. Good job, man. Now go ahead and cover those pipes. Covered the pipes. So it's like, it took me about 4 hours. So what, 4 times 9 is what, 36 or something? I think so. I haven't took math, man, in a long time. So 36. So what, that's $36 that I made for doing all of that. And so he comes and he goes, all right, here's your $36. And I heard what he got paid in the thing. He got paid like $1,000 for him putting sticks down. And I was just like, now, you know, I'm young, you know. I didn't want to be rude. This is, you know. I was like, you know, I'm trying to say the best way to say this. Now, Now let me ask you something. I said, is that all you're giving me? He's like, what? I was like, yeah, I mean, you got paid over $1,000 for this job that I did. And I get $36. I said, that's like me mowing your lawn. He owned acres. I said, that's like me mowing your lawn. And the harder I work, say I get this lawn mowed, you say $9 an hour me mowing your lawn, you have acres, and say I work so hard, I get all of these acres mowed in an hour. You're going to give me $9 for mowing all of these acres for you? This isn't a job that you can get paid hourly. This is a job you get paid by labor. Somebody say amen. Hey, I was 19 years old, but hey, I had some Holy Ghost wisdom in me. I ain't going to be no fool. Like, I'm supposed to just walk away happy. Oh, thanks, man. $36, you know. My hands are, and he's like, yeah, can't wait to see you tomorrow. Man, I ain't doing that again. Are you kidding me? You know, I'm frustrated, but I ain't an idiot. Amen. Praise God. All right. Amen. Just throwing that one out there. Don't let anybody take advantage of you like that. Amen. Praise God. Anybody agree with that? Amen. So I get promoted after that, and I get promoted to working as a substitute teacher for Childhood Development Services. Look, folks, so I'm working with 6-month-olds to 6-year-old, and I'm teaching these kids, about 20 kids in one class. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I loved it. I love these kids because these kids came from the worst parts of town, didn't have a father in their life. I mean, I loved working it with them. I mean, it was rewarding. I mean, I just loved working. You know, you're really not getting paid much at all. But, you know, I was just learning that, you know, I just want to help people. I just want to help people. I just want to help these kids. And man, these kids had some crazy stories. It just really impacted me. And then from that, I got another promotion after a year and a half of doing that into the final job I had before I went full-time evangelizing, and that is a substitute teacher for Marion County School Board.
and I was substituting and teaching classes, mainly middle school. I love middle school. I love teaching the seventh grade. And so, oh, little man, hallelujah, praise God. Yeah, see, I love him. I love him. He came in on cue. I told him to come in at that time. Amen. That was perfect. He had the perfect run and everything. I mean, he's like, yeah, Brother Jackson, I love you, man. Praise God. And so, but what I learned while I was teaching was this. I learned to just, like, I'm not going to force it. I'm just going to do the right thing. And I'm just going to learn to be content where I am. I'm going to learn to thank God where I am. I'm going to learn to give God praise where I am. And frustration has to give birth to learning to be content. If you're always complaining about, oh, this, oh, that, oh, it hasn't happened, oh, that means you're not ready to receive your promise yet. And I remember years later, I talked to my pastor. I said, Pastor, you know, after that frustration, I learned to just be content. He said, yeah, Victor, because when you're frustrated, it's a sign of immaturity. It's a sign of immaturity that you're not ready to handle the promise. Amen. You got to learn to be content in the normality of life until God does his part, right? Be content going in the right direction. I told somebody, don't get so discouraged over your destination that you don't forget to rejoice that you're in the right direction. Just rejoice that you're on the right path. That's a part of going to the next level. Amen. That leper, what? He rejoiced over, he wasn't whole, but he rejoiced that he was healed. And on his path, he rejoiced that he was healed and he became whole while he was rejoicing over the right progression. Sometimes you just gotta, what if I told you, some of you are just one gratitude prayer away from your promise. Got to learn to be thankful for where you are. So Mary had learned to be content. She'd learned to be content so much to where the Bible says that Jesus is 30 years old. Now that's crazy in this time, because remember, your firstborn is the one, Joseph's dead. Your firstborn is the one that's supposed to provide for you. And Jesus isn't married. He's still living at the house at 30 years old. Come on, somebody. And she's content with it. She's like, hey, you know, hey, learn to be content. Look, man, I've waited 30 years for this. You know, because this time people get married at like, what, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. Jesus is 30 and not married. That's an anomaly in that time. That's weird, you know. You know, and the Bible does say that there would be no beauty in him. So I don't know if he didn't look good or not. I'm not sure. We ought to just put on a smile, amen. And so, is this helping? I'm almost done. And so, she learned to be content with him being there, him not operating in his destiny and things like that. First miracle, Cana of Galilee. Then all of a sudden, she just gives him a little nudge and says, hey, you know, there's no wine here, and so, you know, help us out. He makes water into wine, his first miracle. After he does this first miracle, she's just thinking, like, you know how you give your little kid a nudge? Like, hey, why don't you just do that? And they do good. Like, kind of like, they touch the bike, and they start walking with the bike. And you're like, that's it, buddy. You're walking with the bike. Great. But they just hop on and think they can go 20 miles an hour on the bike. Know what I'm talking about? You nudge them in the right direction. They just think they're Superman. My son, oh, my word, my son. I'm nudging him to learn how to walk. Now, this guy is climbing on pews. He's climbing on. I had to get him off the hotel air condition. He's on top of the hotel air condition and holding on to the thing, just smiling at me like, son, I'm... You're learning to walk. You don't need to climb like that yet. But kids is like, they always go to the next level. I can see Mary just giving him a nudge. Say, all right, here, just use your gifts, son. Use your gifts. He does the miracle of the water and wine, and he just goes crazy. Open the blinded eyes, open out the deaf ear. He's just like, ah. This boy here.
And so much to where, watch this, she learned to be content so much where the Bible says that Jesus wouldn't sleep because he was healing so many people and he wouldn't eat. He didn't eat one of the days. And Mary and his brother stood outside and say, hey, you need to come home, because the Bible says Jesus was beside himself. Next level of growth. Number one, favor. Number two, frustration. Number three, learning to be content where you are. Number four, getting out of your comfort zone. Is that crazy? You learn to be content, and it's like as soon as you learn to be content, God starts pulling on you. Are you ready for your promise now? I was just learning to be content. But it's time for your promise. She learned to be content. Now Jesus is working all these miracles, and the Bible says that he was beside himself, and she just couldn't handle it. She was like, man, what's going on? You need to come home. You're staying out too late. You need to come home. But no, you've been waiting for this promise. This was the whole purpose that I was born. Now it's time for you to just come for the ride and watch this promise do more things than you can imagine. And it's like as soon as I learn to be content, and I'm doing the substitute teaching thing, and I'm doing good, and I'm happy, all of a sudden all these random calls started coming. One of my first calls to preach out was Canada. Like, hey, can you come to Canada? Like, how did you hear about me? And the Yukon. Every hunter's dream. First time I got there, they killed a grizzly bear, and his head was this wide. I'm not exaggerating. And I got to eat bear sandwich. It was good. My first call comes from Canada. I go fly out to Canada. My first call was to go preach at my wife's home church. Hallelujah, that was the will of God. I always joke with her. This isn't true, but I like to believe it's true. When I was preaching at her church, she was like, amen, amen. Just saying amen real loud, you know, to get my attention, amen. She didn't do that. She rejected me for like forever. But I had the mother-in-law on my side. And the mother-in-law said, that's a man of God. You need to talk to him. I'm like, amen. That was my first call to go preach at her church, meet her, but I didn't know her name. It wasn't until a year and a half later God spoke to me. I was going to get married. Her face comes into my mind, and so I found out what her name was, how you always should, and that was Facebook. Amen. That's how I contacted her. But that was my first call. Then I'm getting calls in Canada, and I'm going on. I'm like, what in the world? I'm just trying to look. I'm just trying to be faithful. I'm in my comfort zone, and not all these doors are opening up for me, but hey, but God's like, hold on, the whole reason why you had to learn to be content was because there's a promise before you. Don't forget why you're doing what you're doing is because there's a promise before you. And so now the next level is getting out of the comfort zone, taking a step of faith, just let Jesus do his thing. Just let the promise do his thing. And it's taking a step of faith, getting out of your comfort zone. And that's whenever my wife and I, we were getting married. And then when we get married, the Lord speaks to me, say, hey, it's time for you to go full-time evangelize. I'm like, what? It's time for me to go full-time evangelize? I was waiting. You know when you get in that comfort zone, when you get in that learn to be content? I was like, Lord, because I was in school. Lord, I thought it was going to be 10 years from now. I was working on my bachelor's. I'm going to get my master's. Once I get my master's, the college told me I'm already going to be able to, my alumni, where my alumni at, that I would be able to teach, be a professor of religion there. I'd be able to teach the religion class at my, I said, I got my 10-year plan. What do you mean step out now? He said, yeah, give up your job, everything, leave it. And you're going full-time evangelizing. I go to my pastor. I'm like, pastor's going to think I'm crazy. Because he knew how I was when I was frustrated. Like, pastor, I feel like God told me to full-time evangelize. I feel it's from the Lord. What did you just say to me?
I know Bishop's not going to say, Bishop, I feel it's from the Lord. Yeah, what about January 1st? It was November. About January 1st, you're going full-time evangelizing. What? That's fast? And that's what happened. My wife and I, we stepped out a month and a half later, went full-time. But we had to go through the process. And even today, I've had to learn that when God is giving you, everybody stand with me. Whenever God has given you a promise, when the frustration comes as confirmation of the promise, but you have to let it mature into learning to be content, learning to be comfortable, and then stepping out of your comfort zone. Does this make sense to somebody? Step out of your comfort zone and allow God to do what he promised you that he would do. Everybody lift up those hands right now. And I just want you to think about the promises of God that he's spoken to you. And I just want you to think upon it. I want you to meditate on it and lift up your hands to the Lord and just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. God, help me to mature from this frustration and learn to be content. And help me to mature in this frustration and help me to learn to be content, God. And then when I learn to be content, let me know when's the right moment to step out on faith, God. Bring every promise in this church to pass, God. Everything that you have spoken, bring it to pass. Let them get beyond their inadequacies, beyond their dilemmas, beyond their failures, beyond their mistakes, and let them believe and trust in you for the promises of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. The Bible says when Abraham got his promise, that when he got frustrated, he made a mistake. And he had a child with Hagar. He got a promise that was powerful, but it was about 25 years before that promise was manifested. But it changed the whole world. God's going to redeem the time and reward you for the time that you've been waiting. And the Bible says in Hebrews that after Abraham patiently endured, he obtained the promise. With every promise, there's some patient endurance that comes with that. And that's the tough part. It's going to happen, but it's learning how to patiently endure. Just keep on waiting. Just keep on walking with God that it's going to come to pass. Amen. Did this help somebody tonight? I wanted to talk to you tonight. I didn't want to wear you out tonight. I wanted to just talk to you and build in the Word of God to build up for Sunday. Let you get some rest tonight and things like that. But I just want those promises. I just want you to meditate on them. I just want you to meditate on them. And just meditate on it like it's gonna happen. Be so convinced of your promise that it starts aligning your steps today. Not in frustration, but I'm learning to be content. I'm learning to be content on this path that I'm on. I'm on the right path. I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna get there. And when the Spirit impresses me and puts an urgency on me here and there, I'll follow that. But I'm not going to, in my own humanity, force something to happen. So that's what Abraham did. And he fell when he tried to force it. He fell with Hagar. But it's when he learned how to walk and be faithful and let God change his name from Abram to Abraham. During this time, you're going through a name change. Your identity is being changed. Just keep on waiting. Just keep on trusting. Just keep on maturing into that learning to be content, because the promises of God will come to pass. Amen. And so I'm not going to do an altar call here tonight. I just want you to take this home in your spirit, in your mind, I want you to meditate on it. I pray that the Word of God nourished you here tonight. I pray it brought fresh strength and refreshing on you. And I expect you guys to be, you know, hanging on the light bulbs on Sunday. Amen. I expect you all to be jumping up on the prayer, the altar. Amen. Getting on the drums. Amen. Going crazy. We're all going to be sweating Sunday. I'm going to be looking for you. If you're not sweating, I'm going to come find you while I'm preaching and come run with you. Amen. Use you as an illustration to run around the church. Praise God. Amen. Everybody say praise the Lord. Clap your hands one more time to the Lord. Amen. Pastor, you want to dismiss us?